Today's scripture is from the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 3 and verse 7. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Verse 7. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, members of 3,600 branch churches all over the world, including the United States, Canada, Honduras, Peru, Argentina, Germany, France, Russia, Belgium, Netherlands, and African countries, including Kenya, Uganda, and Congo, and in China, Japan, Pakistan, Indonesia, Philippines, Taiwan, India, Mongolia, Egypt, and Korean branch churches and local sanctuary members, those who are attending the service on the internet all over the world, and television viewing audiences. This service is the 12th session of goodness, and I will be continuing to preach about the goodness of Moses from the last session. In last session, I explained that Moses was raised as a son of the daughter of Pharaoh, but he chose to suffer afflictions with the people of Israel rather than to enjoy the pleasure of sin, and he did it all while suffering through the trials of the Midian desert for 40 years. He desperately felt he was nothing and had nothing while he was suffering trials in the Midian desert. He experienced that he could do nothing on his own. But he was neither frustrated nor disheartened. He did not give up. His faith in God became more certain, so he realized he could not survive without the holding hands of God, and he was thankful in everything. He lived a life full of toils and pains of a shepherd tending the flock of his father-in-law. But he was thankful because he did not starve, but instead he ate every meal and was able to lie himself down for a rest. He was thankful to God in everything. When he passed all trials with gratitude, his heart became thoroughly humble before God, and his faith stood absolutely firm. Then finally, God called him. He called Moses so that he could lead the Israelites who cried out to God in pain out of Egypt. Moses, because he had fully emptied himself and humbled himself for 40 years, hesitated to accept the God-given task when God first commanded him. So God revealed wonders and promised him to be with him, and then Moses obeyed his call and marched forward to Egypt. He sent the word of God to the Israelites, and through his obedience to God's direction, he led them from the 400 years of bondage in Egypt. Now I will explain with what kind of goodness he embraced the Israelites, and in guiding them into the promised land as their leader. Dear all brothers and sisters, and especially all workers, compare the size and depth of the vessel of your heart with that of Moses. Make this lesson your grace and strength, so that you may come forth as the better vessels in the sight of God. In the name of the Lord I pray. Dear brothers and sisters, the third goodness of Moses acceptable to God, as said in Numbers 12:3, was that he was more humble than anyone else on the earth. God delights humbleness and meekness so much. You should check whether you are meek or not. God loves humbleness and meekness very much. our Lord and all the men of God were meek. Spiritual humbleness that is indicated in the Word of God means the tender and kind heart accompanied with virtue. This humble and meek heart accepts everybody and lets as many people rest in it as it can. In the same way, a large tree supports many people who come into its shading for them on a hot summer day. And this meekness is a tender and comfortable heart that is soft like cotton. If you are somebody, if you stay near somebody who is meek, and if your senior is meek, you can feel very comfortable. If we throw a stone at a piece of metal, it bounces off, making a noisy sound. If we throw a stone through a window pane, it breaks with a noisy sound. An arrogant and selfish person gives a noisy and rough response when the situation disagrees with his desire. But when we throw a stone onto a bundle of cotton or thrust it through with a sharp rod, it never makes any noise but just accepts and enfolds the object. A meek person accomplishes a tender heart similar to cotton, so he does not quarrel with anybody in any situation. Instead, he can have peace with everybody. He can embrace those who have different thoughts and education from his own. He does not judge or condemn anything with wickedness in all his ways. He can accept, understand, and serve others in a humble manner. He neither has ill feelings toward others, nor lets them feel uneasy. No matter how wicked they are, and no matter how feeble their faith is, he does not forsake them, but waits for them to change. When the editorial bureau came to get the signatures, and Senior Deaconess Bean, the president of the Women's Mission, she was telling me with tears, she was saying, how could you endure with such evil people? How could you endure and how could you forgive all those evil people? And most of them became ill, and their families, and many of them were in operations. And she was telling me with tears, and how could you forgive them, and how could you endure with them? She was saying that she couldn't understand me. He can accept, understand, and serve others in a humble manner. He finds the way for them to be improved and leads and helps them to go that way. Moses was more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. He led the Israelites out of Egypt into the land of Canaan and suffered numerous difficulties and hardships during that 40-year way in the desert. In a mission group or a parish, there are many kinds of personalities. Among the members who have not changed by the truth and hold to various other things, there are people who complain, offend, slander, and speak ill of others and separate themselves. Especially in big churches, the wind will never stop. There are many people with a high education, those who have no education, those who are rich, there are those who are not rich, and those who have fame and wealth. And there are so many kinds of people in a church, so it is not easy to have peace all the time. There may be many noises, but in Manmin Church and all branch churches and in all overseas branch churches, our members are different. Even though they are different, there are many kinds of people. They are united, and in the obedience and order. They have peace and they love each other with spiritual love. And they do not say, I'm better and you're worse. I have a high good education and you don't have education. I am rich and you're not rich. They don't say these things, but they humble themselves and serve one another. And they speak in one voice. And since the opening of the church for 23 years, in the beginning we had a general meeting once a month, all the workers and ministers. And there have been so many meetings. Also, every month we have a church council meeting. I never saw anybody objecting anything fiercely. When they decide something, they become one mind, and they do not point out at others, and I heard nobody raising their voice. In every meeting, everything was done with peace and within harmony. And in this big Manmin church, and we have the General Assembly every year at the end of the year, and we have to report all the everything, and we have to make decisions. And within 1 hour, we finish everything. We can finish it in such a short time. These many people, we gather together in main sanctuary, second sanctuary, and third sanctuary, and have the General Assembly. But because they have one voice, everything is finished so quickly. None of you, I think, has seen anybody objecting anything. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, there were about 600,000 men, and a total of 2 million people followed Moses, including women and children. But actually, it was much more than 2 million. 600,000 men's wives, so there would be 1.2 million. And also there were many elderly, and there were children, so it was actually much more than 2 million. How many hardships had Moses suffered while he led such a great multitude of people through the tough desert travel? They saw many wonders and miraculous signs that God had performed through Moses, but they hurled various complaints and groaned against him whenever they met with difficulties. When Moses obeyed with faith, the Red Sea was parted, and they walked across it as though they were on the dry land. But as they walked through the desert 3 days later, they found no water at all and began to complain to Moses. They had actually experienced God's wondrous miracles, such as 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the Red Sea being parted into two just a couple of days ago. If they had had even a little faith, they would not have complained against Moses, but asked him to give them drinking water by faith. But they did not believe God's presence, though they had witnessed the great power of God. And do you believe that God is with this church and with you? Moses tolerated them in all this at that time, and he cried out to God for them and performed the miracle by changing the bitter water of Marah into sweet water to drink. At Marah, they drank water and continued their walking. It was not long before they began to complain because there was no food for them to eat. Marah is near to the Red Sea, so because the seawater comes in there, it is bitter. And in Muan, Manmin Church, because thousands of members went there and dipped themselves there, and because they pumped out so much water, because they were pumping out too much, so when you drink the water nowadays, there is a little bit of a bitter taste. So even with those experiences, they began to complain against Moses. This time, there was no food for them to eat. Their words of complaint are written in Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." Each of your words is very important. Your lips, your words have the authority of death and life. They said, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." That is why they all died in the desert. Only the second generation went into the Canaan, all of them, except those who did not complain but believed in God, Joshua and Caleb, except them, all of them died in the desert. So we should realize how important our words are. When we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. They were like a drowning man who has been saved and asked the one who saved him to give him back his baggage. They were crying out to God, and God answered them as the answer God sent to Moses. So, and then they escaped from Egypt, and now it will not be enough even if they give all their thanks, but they are now complaining. For these ungrateful people, Moses prayed to God to fulfill their petition. Through his prayer, Moses was able to provide them with bread to eat in the morning and be filled with meat in the evening. The people of Israel ate food coming from above every day, and then did they obey and closely follow Moses? They didn't. When they set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin and camped in Rephidim, there was no water for them to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and were about to stone him. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" It may have left Moses speechless. It was absurd. How could they say anything like that, although they had eaten manna every day that came from God? Their action and behavior were not forgivable or acceptable at all in human thinking, but Moses went before God and prayed for them. He cried out and received the answer. He struck the rock with his staff before the eyes of elders of the people, and then water came out of it. This week, God will, what kind of blessing will God give to us, to this church? When God works greatly, there is a great blessing. Yesterday, we saw a very clear rainbow. So, as a sign of promise, I wonder what kind of blessing God will give to us. Our pastor, Reverend Jongman Lee, is here with us. Please look at the rainbow. It is actually a double rainbow. The upper one is not very much visible. The seven colors are so clear. It didn't even rain yesterday. In a clear sky with some clouds, God showed us with a rainbow around the church. The Israelites complained and grumbled at even small things and doubted whether God was among them. Nevertheless, Moses cried out to God to give them their desires and received his answers. They, however, committed a great sin before God and fell into a crisis for which all of them would be destroyed. Moses climbed Mount Sinai to communicate with God over a long period of time. During his absence, they became too unrestrained in heart and molded a calf, and they proclaimed it as their God that had led them out of Egypt. God became furious and said to Moses, I have seen this people, and indeed it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and I may consume them, and I will make of you a great nation. How did Moses answer God? Did he say, yes, they have been unforgivable. Let them be treated by your will? No, he did not say anything at all like that. In Exodus chapter 32, verses 11 to 13, he earnestly petitioned to God, saying, Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians speak and say, he brought them out to harm them, to kill them in the mountains, and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from your fierce wrath and relent from this harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of I give to your descendants, and they shall inherit it forever. God turned his will and did not pour out his wrath upon them. And you see how strong this prayer of Moses was. God already decided to destroy all the people of Israel, but by one prayer of Moses with his love, through his petition of love, God listened to him. And you should know how powerful Moses' prayer was, and how Moses could move the heart of God. And you sometimes see in this church the same thing. Even the things that cannot be forgiven, for these things God gave you the chance of repentance. So, if one can move the heart of God, then he must be, his meekness and humbleness must be very great. And those who are sick, it's the same. All their family members must be changed into spirit, and they should be able to move God's heart. If they have faith like that, they'll be able to receive any kind of answer. When Moses came down from the mountain, he saw them committing a great sin before God. In Exodus chapter 32, verses 31 to 32, it says that he knelt down before God and prayed, Oh, these people have committed a great sin and have made for themselves a god of gold. Yet now, if you will, forgive their sin. But if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. Your book which you have written means the book of life. And you are saved only when your name is recorded in the book of life. Those whose names are not in the book of life, in the book of Revelation, you see that these people will be judged. And Moses knows all these things, that his name is in the book of life. And he is praying to God, putting his own life.
Yeah.
to forgive the people. The people committed such a great sin before God, but still he could not see the nation being destroyed. So he asked God to forgive them to the point of laying down his life for them. They did not believe God had been with Moses, neither did they obey and follow Moses. They were not thankful to Moses for his sacrificial pains for them, but rather complained and groaned against him for leading them out of Egypt into the path of deserts. When they sinned greatly before God and were on the point of destruction, Moses did not hesitate to lay down his life for their salvation. Moses accomplished the highest level of goodness in which he could give his life to his enemy and fully embraced the sin-filled people with that perfect goodness. That's why God the Father said he was more humble than anyone else on the earth. If you have this humbleness and meekness, don't you want to have it too? This meekness without any evil, how good it is. How pleased will our God be with this? Let us have meekness. Let us go into it. And let us humble ourselves and serve one another, even between husband and wife. Well, since I got married, when you get married and after your, before you go on a honeymoon, you receive my prayer for blessing, and you go on a honeymoon. If you have the ceremony on Saturday, you keep the Sabbath on Sunday, and on Monday you leave, then you receive a prayer. And I always pray that husband will serve the wife, and the wife will serve the husband. Both of them will humble themselves and not seek their own benefit and truly serve each other and have a spiritual family. And this is the first condition of happiness. And without changing minds. Because they get married with love, their love should not change until the Lord comes back. Then how many people can you spiritually embrace? Have you ever quarreled with your children you gave birth to because you did not embrace them? Have you done the same thing toward your brothers, sisters, or your spouse? Have you quarreled and been in confrontation because you could not or would not spiritually accept and embrace them? All leaders who tend the souls as a parish pastor, group leader, mission leader, or cell leader must look back on your life to see if you have taken care of them with humbleness. If you truly embrace them with meekness, and if you are really leading them to the kingdom of heaven, or if they disobey, you don't like them, you don't embrace them. Is there any worker or minister like that? In any kind of situation, even if they give you a hard time, you should be able to embrace them, any kind of person. So even an evil person, you can change him and guide him to the kingdom of heaven. If you truly understand the goodness of Moses, you could not blame the actions of others, saying that they have just done too much wrong to be embraced. Many people say they have been enduring so much, but because it is too much, they cannot forgive anymore. What do you mean by you cannot forgive? It's too much. You should forgive from the beginning itself. You don't have to endure with it. Because you have obstacle within you and unbroken frameworks of your thought has remained in you, you cannot embrace them but make a noise. Therefore, I pray in the name of the Lord that all of you, church workers and all brothers and sisters, follow the example of the goodness of Moses and comfort as great vessels that can embrace many more souls. Dear brothers and sisters, the fourth goodness of Moses was that he was faithful to all God's house, as indicated in verse 7. Being faithful is when you have fully carried out the God-given duties and accomplish more than your personal duties require. Being faithful in all God's house means faithful in every kind of work. You are faithful in this, but not in that. It's not like that you should be faithful in all your lives, in all your walks. You are female deaconesses, female workers. You are a group leader, cell leader, or district leader. You sometimes are not faithful in your family because you are working for God. You don't prepare a good hot meal for your husbands, and you don't care for your children, and you only work for God. And will God be pleased with that? You should be faithful in all God's house. God's kingdom is first, but as a mother to your children, you should prepare a good hot meal, and you should do your duty as a mother, and also as a wife. Also, the father, even if he is busy with his work, he has to do his duty as the father, and also they should be faithful in God's house too. If they don't do the housekeeping works, but if the wife does not do any housekeeping work and he only works for God, and please understand me, it is not good. But if the husband loves God so much, and he might say, he would say, wife, it is okay, you just go ahead and visit the members and encourage them, and you can come late. Even if you can come, even if you come late, I will just prepare the meal and eat for myself. It would be better if the husband can do it. But it shouldn't be always. So, God is pleased with being faithful in all His house. So, if you do that, if you don't do that, you are giving a chance to Satan to accuse you. To be faithful to all God's house, you must be able to sacrifice your life without sacrifice yourself, without sparing your heart, with your sincerity and your time. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 5 says, "And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward." A servant indicates one that performs duties for the person, or home of a master or personal employer. So the word "a servant" tells us how much Moses lowered himself and how fully he was faithful to his God-given duties. His task, commissioned by God, was to lead the Israelites out of Egypt into the land of Canaan. Moses did not become the leader for them because he wanted the position. He was chosen and called by the will of God. By the way, the Israelites did not listen to his words carefully, nor did they obey him. They complained and even quarreled with Moses over small difficulties and inconveniences. It was Moses' task to lead these stubborn people into the land of Canaan as promised by God. A leader of the people has burdens to carry. Sometimes he feels burdened and heavy laden by his task. One family, in that family there's a genius pianist recognized even by a broadcasting company. Some of you know. So,
piano도 악보 없이 양손으로 뒤로
that this pianist plays the piano backwards, even without the music. And unfortunately, he cannot see with one eye, and the other is also getting worse. He had operations four times in the hospital, but he was not healed. But maybe in a subway, the family members saw Man Minjunghwang news, and they came to Manmin Church, and they realized that this is the church we have to serve, and they registered. It's not been a long time, just about a month. At the time of repentance service, just 1 week before repentance service, they registered, and also in the repentance service, they were touched very much. And that the father of the pianist and the senior pastor, he sees that the senior pastor is leading so many members to the way without letting them fall away. It is not easy. Sometimes I get confused because I meet many members, so please understand. And also that pianist, her eye, which she could not see at all, now she can begins to see some lights with that eye, and God began to work. She didn't even receive my prayer directly, but already lights are coming in to her eyes. So family members received my prayer. Sometimes he feels burdened and heavy laden by his task. In the world, when people see their company meet with difficulties, some key workers hide themselves for their own benefits. Some leaders are unable to overcome the humility, despising attitudes, and complaints of their staff members, and they killed themselves. It was not easy for a leader to carry all the burdens for his people, and the weak-hearted people might feel so much grief and discomfort because of their responsibilities to the point of literally giving up on life. But Moses never shirked his responsibility, nor delegated his responsibility for his people to anybody else. He never abandoned his task at all. He passed through every kind of hardship by faith. He did not think he would simply lead them out of Egypt and take them to the land of Canaan. He cared for them with the heart of a father and put them in his heart day and night as if he had given birth to them. He carefully considered how he would awaken them and how he would help them to become the kind of people that God desired them to be. But because their faith was so weak and they were far from the standard God wanted, he always had to mourn and petition to God for them. And compared to them, although we are living in the world full of sin, our members do not complain. You probably have a good heart. You don't grumble against. You always are thankful and joyful, and you always pray. And if the shepherd mourns, you fast for me, and you pray for me together. And I think you are much better than these people here. When you try to shake hands with me, before I get to my arrive at my residence, some workers, people around me, they push you away. And some elderly people, if they are pushed away, they go around and come again. And they cannot, you cannot even shake hands with me very well, but you stand in a line in the coldness of winter and in hotness of summer, you wait for some of you wait 2 or 3 hours just to shake hands once. And if it goes to the middle, and you cannot even shake hands properly because more than 1,000 people are there to shake hands with me. You just have to touch my hand and just go. Only then will the other remaining members will be able to see me. So you understand. So even if our workers push you away, you are still thankful and you are joyful and your faces don't change. You come back again next week. There are some professors and doctors too, some CEOs also, but they do not complain. They follow the orders. I'm so thankful for that. So also the other members, we can save time for other people, so even one more person can have some time for them too. His heart was always filled with pain and sorrow because of them. He also felt sorry for them. He did not feel comfortable due to worries and anxieties about the people. He never rested, even for a moment, from the day he led them out of Egypt until the day when God called his soul. He shed immeasurable tears for them. His tearful prayers and mourning petitions for them are beyond description. Why do you think he prayed so earnestly to God for them all the time? He prayed that God would not give up on them, but continue to lead them in his will. Because Moses had this kind of heart, God trusted Moses too, and God let him have deep fellowship with God and perform great works of power. In our church too, to those ministers who trust in God so much, God gives them great power and uses them greatly. Look at Reverend Myeongho Jung of Africa. How greatly he is using him. God is using him. God let me know his position is high in the kingdom of heaven. And God's word is absolutely true, but his position is so high, and now we can understand. He teaches so many ministers and pastors in Africa, and of 54 countries of Africa, there are so many Bible colleges all around Africa, and he teaches so many God's words, and he has so many bishops and presidents of church councils are his disciples, his students. And he has set up more than 3,000 branch churches in Africa. And Manmin's branch churches are always being born again, being established every day, here and there. And we receive so many requests from other churches that want to join us as branch church. That is the handkerchief crusade of Dr. Reverend Myeongho Jung. With just a handkerchief, so many people gather like that, such great multitude of people. And the blind come to see, the mute come to speak, and the deaf come to hear, and the lame men walk, and they stand up from wheelchairs, and AIDS, and cancers, and so many diseases are healed, and they give glory to God. They convert into Christianity, and unbelievers come to believe. Why do these works take place? Because this servant, this pastor, trusts in God and believes in God, and he has shown the kind of faith. He always obeyed the shepherd in Saul. He has never doubted. He has never objected. Even if he was going to East, if I just say a word, it is not the will of God. He immediately began fasting and repented, and he obeyed. And he is faithful to the point of death. Day and night he prays. And in Africa, the roads are not good, so if they travel by car, it is not well paved, so sometimes he has to travel 12 hours or 20 hours to go to a neighboring country. Sometimes he, if he cannot catch a travel by airplane, so day and night he conducts so many crusades, and he's teaching so many ministers and bishops. And how can God not give great power to this kind of minister pastor, and how can he not be called a great man in the kingdom of heaven? Also, there was a great disciple under him. He always saw him, and he prayed, and he saw that pastor's deeds, and he saw that pastor's faithfulness. And we have a good student disciple under him, Pastor Peter Kim. I'm just so thankful to God. Seeing Pastor Kim, I'm always thankful. God, you gave me another good pastor, and you gave me another spiritual warrior. And I am so pleased, and I'm happy. And he will do great things, doing God's work all over the world. And God's word is absolutely true. Those who love God first, and those who love their neighbors as their own bodies. Of course, they should be meek, and they should not have any evil. If they have those things, they will be refined by God. And I hope all the pastors and ministers will be used by God like that, and will be held by the mighty hands of God. So it did not just happen that he received the Ten Commandments and the many decrees and statutes in his communication with God. He went up to a desolate mountain and prayed and fasted 40 days there. Was it easy? When he prayed to God with 40-day fasting, he did not pray quietly. He cried out with all his sincerity and might, and made every effort to increasingly read the heart of God. Through this prayer, he was given the five books of Moses. In addition to the five books, he received many revelations from God and had close fellowship with Him. But he never spoke anything that was not permitted by God to the people, and he thoroughly kept what God had said. Because Moses had this kind of inner heart, God spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend, and he enjoyed deep fellowship with him. Was Moses courageous and pompous before God because he was fully faithful to all God's house? No, he never was. Among the first generation of the Israelites who were over 20 years old and escaped from Egypt, only two people entered the land of Canaan. And it was the second generation who conquered the promised land. The second generation of the Israelites could conquer it because Moses led and taught them in faith. Nonetheless, he was always sorry before God for not reaping much more fruit. He felt sorry because he did not bear greater and more perfect fruits, although God gave him many powers and confirmed many works of his. Moses was humbler than the unworthy servant who might say, I have finished my duty, after he had fulfilled only what was commanded of him. Some people, if they receive praise, if they accomplish anything, they become proud, and they change, and their neck become stiffened. But Moses, as his power became greater, as he was loved more and more by God, he humbled himself more, and he served others more. God looks for this kind of people, this kind of ministers, and this kind of workers. Those who are proud, God will throw them out. How about you? Have you ever thought your duty was too heavy and laborious and wanted to abandon it and rest? Please be reminded of the heart of Moses, who had never rested peacefully because of worries about the people from the moment he led them out of Egypt until the moment he was called by God. Remember the heart of Moses, who had been faithful to all God's house, but was sorry to God because he did not reap more fruits and urged himself to continue his race. Moses, to receive these the law and commandments, he fasted for 40 days. He couldn't even drink water. Where was water in Mount Sinai? Of course, Joshua followed him too. And he received the revelations and law, and the people could not wait just for that moment, and they made a calf and they called it God, and they were dancing and eating and drinking. And they were worshiping that idol. Still, nevertheless, Moses, when God wanted to destroy all of them, Moses pleaded to God, God, please forgive them. If you will not forgive them, please blot me out of your book you have written and save them. And this kind of love of prayer of love. And how can God not be moved in his heart? How much, how pleased, how happy God must have been. That beautiful heart of love. And even though he might fall into hell, he wanted to save the people. And God was so touched in his heart. And through that prayer, looking at the Moses' heart, God changed the plan and forgave the people. Those of you who have not received the answer yet, and those who are on the wheelchairs, if you are not healed yet, your family members and you must show love and faith that can move God's heart. If you are not healed yet, there certainly is a wall of sin. There is a wall against God. So, only to break that wall, you should show your faith and deeds to please God. And then you come to receive my prayer. You make a request, then nobody, every one of you will receive the answer then. Let me conclude the message. Dear brothers and sisters, today we have learned about two new kinds of goodness of Moses. He was more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth, and he was faithful to all God's house. I think you can now fully feel how great Moses' vessel was as a person who was chosen by God to fulfill his will. A Korean proverb says, wind never stops blowing against a tree having many branches. The taller and bigger a tree, the more problems it faces. But a big tree has a strong root planted deep in the ground, and it stands firm in the face of the storms, even if the crown of its branches is tossed by the wind. and it can become a shelter for many birds and supplies them with cool shade. I hope you will become such a great tree of faith. You can do it if you take after Moses and resemble his goodness and plant your faith deep into the Word of God. Jeremiah chapter 17 verses 7 to 8 say, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord." For example, if you rely on the Lord, it said, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord." And is there anybody who can say, "I trusted in the Lord, but I did not receive the answer"? If there was any problem, you used your own thoughts first, you used your own knowledge first, and you relied on other people first, and you relied on the worldly methods first. Did you show your faith to rely on God first and completely? And still, have you ever not received answer? Until now, so far, I have not served God in that way. I only served Him and relied on Him completely, and whenever I did, God was pleased with me, and God kept on blessing me again and again. And that is why God blessed me with such obedient members. Even in Japan, there will be another branch church established, and that member should be healed by a prayer, a photo, and those people, they gather, those who have been healed through my prayer, they gathered and they form a branch church. Also in China, there are many people who want to have branch churches in their areas. Because the land is so big, there are many, many branch churches, but still they have to travel 10 hours or 15 hours to go to a branch church. So they want as many branch churches to be established. And how could they grow up like that? They have not ever met me once. Just through internet and prayers, they were healed and they were touched, and they want to establish churches. "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and the trees are planted by the waters." These trees, even if there is drought, they still have water in their roots, so they are always green, which spreads out its roots by the river. So because their roots are spread out, they can absorb water and will not fear when heat comes. Even if there is heat, they still have the water. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So if you root yourself in God and in the Lord, if you give all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, and if you rely on God completely, and God will be with you and guarantee you in everything. I pray in the name of the Lord, all of you become such a great tree in faith so that you can be used as a precious tool for the kingdom of God. Let us pray, thinking about the message. Hallelujah. Dear Father, we thank you for your grace and love. Father, let this message become our life and strength. I preached about the second goodness of Moses. He chose to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoying the wealth. And he has the meekness and humbleness. He was more humble than anyone else on the earth, and he was faithful in all God's house. Father, let us have this goodness of Moses too. Father, bless us, I pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Numbers chapter 12, it tells us why God loved Moses very much. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? They asked. Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. At once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them came out. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. God came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. Aaron is Moses' brother and Miriam is Moses' sister. When both of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions, I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? The anger of the Lord burned against them, and he left them. When the cloud lifted from above the tent, three stood Miriam, leprous like snow. Moses, how could he be loved by God so much? God didn't meet him in vision or dream. Moses would see God face to face, because he was more humble than anybody else on the face of the earth, and because he was faithful in all God's house. That's why God loved him so much. I pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on sick parts and infirmities, and please answer to the prayer answer for your prayers. Hallelujah, Father, please lay your hands on them from top to bottom, all cells and nerves and internal organs, tissues, nerves, burn them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power of creation. Bless them spiritually and physically. Father, work transcending time and space. Bless all the members in branch churches and local sanctuaries and those who are in their service through the satellite and internet all over the country and all over the world, and also the GCN viewers who are listening to the messages. Also, those who are listening to the messages through a Russian channel in United States and Canada and all Europe, bless them in the same way. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, all enemy devil go away, light come from head to toe, all internal organs, cells and nerves and tissues be burnt by the fire of the Holy Spirit and most high power of creation. Light come, be cleansed and healthy. Light come. Father, thank you. Protect them with the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and your heavenly hosts and angels and with your blazing eyes throughout the week. And protect all the vehicles and their traveling. Protect them and protect all the children. And also protect all the overseas ministers and pastors and members. And protect all the branch churches and local sanctuaries, and also protect all the members who are going to Muan Mamin Church. And wherever they are, let all the enemy devil Satan go away and protect them with the fiery wall of the Holy Spirit and heavenly hosts and angels, and with your blazing eyes, give them prosperity. Bless them whether they come in or go out. Let them be the head but not the tail. Let them lend but not borrow. Lord, thank you. I pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.